Welcome back, John.
Thank you.
Yes, so we want to plan a structure plan for Raglan since the council doesn't appear to be doing it at the moment. Maybe they're planning to, I don't know.
And you've been appointed at this huge salary to do it. Yeah. Well done.
An appointment's a very strong word, but we've just taken it upon ourselves to, I don't know, this is for the sake of the radio, but I think it's worth having this discussion. A structure plan is... What is that? What's included in a structure plan for an urban area?
Yeah, we've sort of approached it rather jokingly, but it is a serious issue.
Yeah.
Should be being done. So basically it covers how an area works, whether you've got enough sewage, whether you've got enough water, electricity, telephone, communications, roading, what the population is that's going to work with that, where the population's going to be.
Housing density.
Whether you're looking after the important things that people value, like nature conservation and such like. So, how all these things fit together, basically, as a structure plan.
And views. How detailed do you get?
Well, views are sort of covered or proposed to be covered in the district plan. So that's been introduced in that for the first time.
How does the structure plan relate to the district plan?
District plan is the detailed rules that the structure plan sets the framework for. So the structure plan looks at what could work, and then the district plan, in theory, enforces the rules so that it does work.
Does the district plan in writing refer to the structure plan and say, this is the future plan for this area?
It can do, but of course we've not got one, except that we have got them for specific areas. So Rangitahi has a structure plan and Lorenzen Bay has a structure plan.
So Rangitahi has one, presumably because the developers wrote their own one with their planners,
and
handed it to the council.
For Lorenzen Bay,
Who made the Lorenzen Bay structure plan?
I think the developers there went bust in the 2008 financial collapse.
That Nikko Park one?
Yes.
That was a spectacular one. That one left with holes in the ground and all sorts of things. That one was of all the, I mean, many, lots of things went bust in 2008, but that was, I think, the first one to go. So that's a structure plan. And if you don't have a structure plan, then we get what's been happening in Raglan, where Rangitahi just happened and was pushed through because it just was, because there's processes in place in the legislation that allow for that. And the community objected in ways, and we still don't know. I've never sat down and looked at what's the long-term future of Raglan. Was that the right place to develop next? Was it a place to develop at all? All those questions haven't been really asked from a big-picture perspective. There's the 2070 plan, which shows future development for Raglan, but that's talking about a potential population of 12,000 people and basically has some amorphous, colourful blobs on a map saying we think this is, which is basically just everywhere around Raglan, really, isn't it, John?
Yeah, and it doesn't pull together all the other things that I mentioned, like whether we've got enough roads or water or sewage or electricity or whatever.
Yeah, and so John was referring before to we're kind of aware that negotiations are going on in the background surrounding land-based treatment of sewage. That's the phrase I'm trying to get to there. It's requiring a piece of land. The owner of that land might be a developer and they might be negotiating with council to get some favours, things in their advantage, as you would in that situation. But we don't, as a community, we're completely locked out of that. In fact, the community board, our representatives, appear to not be very... I don't know how involved they are, but they're certainly not right in the middle of it, I get the feeling.
Well, even, as I say, Watercare, who are actually basically running the new sewage project, don't seem to know quite what's going on with the council negotiations with the landowner up at Mangitahi Road. So.
Because the negotiations happen with the council people, and they are not council, they are employed by council.
Because my understanding is that they have got development rights up there, and one of the things that's been discussed on Thursday as part of the district plan process is transferable development and conservation lots, which I suspect is also very much linked up with that. So it's the idea that when you've got permission to do something in the past, then you can come along and say, hey, we've got a better idea now. We'd like to develop here instead of there, and this is good for everyone, so will you agree to it?
So if someone decades ago put in...
Or centuries ago.
Plans to develop a certain rural area, and that was never developed, but you buy it later on, then presume you're saying that that development can be wiped off the map and you could do a development somewhere else similar?
Yeah, well, we've got an example of that just at the start of Volketty Road. You go down the hill towards Three Streams and the Volketty Road goes off up the left there. And just above there, there's a new development, or relatively new development, that was transferred from being further around the coast.
Okay.
So that was a subdivision that was created around about 1900, and about 10, 15 years ago, they transferred those development rights to this land closer to the main road.
Okay, and were they allowed the same amount of lots, or is that how it works?
I think that's how it worked.
But yeah.
I mean, it's something that's negotiated, so that there isn't any firm rule on it, and I think that's part of the idea of having the discussion, which is coming up on Thursday amongst the people who've got an interest in the district plan.
So, folks, the district, such a long process, and for most of it, it's over. But if you wanted to appeal the council's final rulings on what the new district plan was going to be, you appeal to the Environment Court, and John happens to be involved in that because he knows how to do that. Most people don't know how to do that. Most people have to employ environmental lawyers.
And I'm getting lost on it, so I'm thinking maybe I should have done that.
They're
expensive.
Yes, yeah. Okay, so that's a little insight into how some of the things happen in the background. Meantime, what would we... actually, part of the land-based treatment, and in fact, this came up in the community board meeting a few weeks ago, that the council staff or Watercare or combined have initiated a process to get some reports done on the future development of the Raglan area, because if you're having pumping sewage somewhere to have it put on land, you have to have a corridor, and normally that would be on a road. So there's long been talk about a bypass around Raglan coming maybe from the Mangatawhiri Road intersection and going somewhere around behind Rangatahi. So obviously you're going to combine, or perhaps it's obvious, I don't know, combine sending the sewage through that roadway. And then that means all the other services start going through there as well. And so that really dictates a whole lot of stuff that's going to happen with future planning. So they are doing, in the background, they're doing some reports. Are we going to see those reports, John, eventually?
Well, that would have been the value of having a structure plan in place, because at the moment it's just a dotted line on the 2070 aspirational plan.
Yeah, so without the structure plan, they're trying to do this important what are we doing with our sewage thing, and they can't proceed because they don't have answers to questions because there's no structure plan in place.
Yep, so the main part of the study is to look at what the wetlands are that potential road might cross and what effect it might have on them.
So that's an environmental concern?
Yes.
Yep, okay.
So those studies, as I understand it, are going on at the moment, and presumably they dictate some extent where the road goes exactly.
Okay, so think about things that we... What's another thing that we've come across this issue with the structure plan? Because we were involved with the district plan, you and I and Gabrielle were involved in these Zoom meetings, and there was talk there about higher density housing, which was lots of 200 square metres, so it's not allowing for apartment blocks, and Kāinga Ora, the government body, was recommending an area of 200 square metre sections, which is half of the current minimum size, around the centre of town, because that's where the transport nodes are.
Well, we don't so even... Called. A bus that runs four times a day is scarcely a transport node, it seems to me.
It's a nodette, yes. It's a nodette.
And transport nodes are thought of in terms of high-frequency metro lines. So you maybe have a metro service every 5 minutes that takes 300 people. There, you could well call it a transport node, but a bus that takes 50 people four times a day is scarcely the same thing.
Yeah. So people might like the idea of high-density housing. They might not like the idea of Raglan urban area getting bigger, but there's pressure going on. If we don't do any of these things, I guess it would mean the amount of houses that there are in Raglan stays static, which is obviously not happening with Rangatahi, but I'm just like projecting into the future, if you don't allow for the growth, then what it will mean is that property prices will go through the roof, because there's nothing else that can happen. So, John, your thoughts on where we should have our high-density housing, please?
Well, I've always been advocating the wharf area as an area, because my argument is that although the silo is the largest building in town, you don't see it from many places because it's hidden behind the hill.
Yep.
And that hill's at an angle where, again, it's hidden from most places. So although you get quite good distant views from the silo, you don't get all that many close views. And when you look down Wallace Street from the town centre, you can just about see it. But it's an area that you could well put lots of high-density housing, and it wouldn't change the character of most of the town.
So, but what are you talking about with high-density?
I was talking about 4 or 5 storey, which is similar to the sort of height of the silos. And you could design it as something like a European fishing village, because they're quite often that sort of height, and quite closely spaced. And so you could give it quite a character, and it could be an area which had a lot of vibrancy and did provide for people on low incomes and did it in an attractive way.
How many low-income people are going to really live there, though, if you've got a water view? Or would there be places without water views?
Well, presumably, if you've got that density, there are going to be places without water views as well, yes.
Okay. And they can visit their neighbours to see the water.
They can't all line the waterfront, yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of people are going to be, like, very disappointed to see the curious and interesting houses along there disappear. But what's the alternative if we don't put some high-density housing in Raglan? The alternative is more rural area gets used up for housing?
Well, quite a lot of people have been advocating for Tiuku to be a centre of the sort of overspill, in much the way that Arrow Town is for Queenstown.
But why would you live in Tiuku when you could live in Raglan?
Because it would be cheaper.
Okay, so you're still kind of close to the beach and you're kind of close to Raglan. Well, but so the district plan, and I don't know if this passed through, I presume it did, was allowing for urban development in the flat area besides Tuka School, so as you head toward Hamilton, all that flat area there, which is fantastic farmland, no doubt, beginning turned into urban development.
Yeah, but basically these are just two of the ideas that you might put forward in a structure plan and think, how is this going to work and is it going to work? And see what people think, but at the moment we haven't had that opportunity. So, as you say, at the moment everything is just developer-driven, so if somebody owns a patch of land and decides they want to make their fortune out of it, then they put forward a plan and there's no alternative. That's the option for development.
Well, there is the blueprint, and in fact the former Deputy Mayor, Axel Beck, said that one of the purposes behind the blueprints was that often when you went to do something in a town, you didn't have any clues about where the community wanted to go, and so you just went with what the developers were proposing. Mm-hmm. So, but I don't know if the blueprints really, it's not a structure plan at all, is it?
And as I mentioned earlier, it's not making a huge amount of progress, but hopefully that sustainability committee will push forward the progress on it and keep an eye on what's going on.
But I think, I mean, the way I'm talking about it, the way Axel Beck was talking about it, is it's now there as something you can consult. But we'd like a structure plan to be there as something that could be consulted on. Are there any negatives toward having a structure plan? Like, does it get too restrictive, John? Any reason why you wouldn't want one?
Well, I think the cost of it is the main excuse that councils use for not doing one, because they've kept saying, oh, we've not allocated any money in the long-term plan to do a structure plan for Raglan. They have done structure plans for almost every other town, and as I say, for parts of Raglan, but not for the whole of Raglan.
So do we need to create a kerfuffle in the media about how there are negotiations going on behind the scenes that affect the future of Raglan and the community's been locked out of it, and then say that the solution would have been to have a structure plan?
Well, we are the media, but the trouble is that council doesn't listen to the media in Raglan. They only listen to, well, they occasionally listen to the Waikato Times, but
yeah,
even so that they largely ignore.
Front page of the Waikato Times. I know the previous mayor used to get very hot under the collar of people threatening to go to the media, which is a sign that it was actually a powerful thing to do. Yeah, I mean, I asked the mayor in an interview after she won the election about that, and she was non-committal because she hadn't seen what the planner's budget was for future projects like that, which obviously in that moment she can't. Well, is she the mayor? Can she actually decide what their budget is?
Is there any prospect of interviewing her again?
Yeah, I could ask for an interview. But yeah, the whole structure plan, I don't know. I mean, Dennis Amor is really keen to have one. He's now our chair of our community board, and he's going to keep on top of that. But it might need more than just him, I think.
His predecessors have been keen to have one as well, but we haven't actually got one. So Bob McLeod was particularly keen on a structure plan as well.
Yeah, the only difference is sometimes with turnover of staff and turnover of community board, there's fresh people involved. It might happen a lot easier. The emphasis, underline the word might, give it capital letters. All right, John, thank you for coming in. I don't know if people learned anything useful about a structure plan there, the importance of it. We obviously could talk about that one for hours and hours because they're big things and they take a long time to make. John, you got anything to tell us about? Tell us about the Raglan Ramblers. Where are they're going somewhere tomorrow?
It's on the farm around Tumata, so meet up at usual place on James Street, 9 o'clock tomorrow morning
by the Catholic Church.
And go to Houchin Road, just this side of Tumata.
Okay.
And start walking. It should be a good day and views of Raglan, views of Carrioy, views of the hills around. So, yeah.
Right, from angles that you won't have seen, presumably. Yes. Yeah. Okay, all right, look, thanks heaps for coming in. And you're on the air again tonight at 6, aren't you, Tuesday night?
Yep, that was a good interview you did with Dennis. That's going to be part of that. Yep.
Okay, all right, thanks
Including
for coming in.
Including the surprise interruption. What was the story with that one?
Somebody just wandered into the studio, yeah. What were they asking about?
About when the road was opening.
Oh, yeah, so it seemed easier just to answer them than to try to ignore them because they just seemed to want an answer. And I'd mentioned the on-air side, but yeah.
That's the trouble with the information office being out of town and the radio studio being in the centre of town.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny, really. I don't mind it. If I didn't want that sort of thing happening, I'd close the door. But, I kind of like it anyway. It's amusing. Okay. All right, thanks for coming in, John. Okay, folks, end of the show for the day. We'll be back again tomorrow morning.